How to Ask for Help. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So we decided to do this segment because if you're junior, you might not know how to ask for help, or even if you're even intermediate or senior, you might not know how to ask for help. It seems such. I'm not sure I fully learned. And, of course, you want to say please. Let's get a little bit more sophisticated than that. So who should you be asking for help within your firm?
I think personally the best sources of information and help within a law firm environment for somebody that's just starting out are your peers, your mid-level and senior associates. Partners are hit and miss. My rule of thumb is if you want to know how to do something, the mid-level and senior associates are your best source. Old guys like me have forgotten how to do tons of stuff. I mean, you don't want to be asking me how to fill out your Form 4 or to prepare a certificate of amendment to file with the Secretary of State. I purposely flushed that information out of my brain when I became a partner. If you've got a conceptual issue or you've got an in-depth question about the application of a legal principle to a particular situation, well, then you may want to talk to the partner level person involved. Senior associate may be able to help you out there, but if it's very complicated, you're going to probably want to get some partner level input. And if you're working in a corporate law environment, I mean that's when you kick it up to the more senior folks in the law department as well. So. But I think if it's just kind of nuts and bolts, how do I do this type of stuff, then I think your best approaches are with your peers, with the mid-level, senior-level folks. If there's an issue with how to proceed with a particular client, that goes to the partner. At least you want to touch base with a partner after you've gotten an answer or input from an associate. Client relationship judgment calls are not ones you want to make on your own. If you're dealing with anything that might be sensitive, interpersonally with a client, et cetera, you really want to touch base with the partner. And I think it's real important that communicating that if there's any interaction between you and the client, if you're hearing anything from the client, you want to report that back to the partner. The clients think that whoever is running the deal, and I think this goes equally true in-house, that the senior business people think that whoever is running the deal has perfect knowledge of everything that's going on in it. And they're very busy, and I think one of the things that's important to you as a young associate is to do your bit to make sure they have perfect knowledge. And if you're having one-off conversations with somebody from the client, make sure that the senior people in the transaction are aware of it. You don't have to be really obstreperous about it or really showy about it. Shoot an email to somebody, said, I got a call from this person, they said X, Y, or Z, and they mentioned this, and leave it at that. I think, again, the key thing is, if it touches the client, if it touches the relationship, you definitely want to touch base at the partner level on something like that. Now, firm politics, always ask an associate. They always know way more than any of the partners. Seriously, when I want to know something about what's going on in my firm, I don't bother asking one of my partners. I ask an associate, and I know a handful of them that always have their ear to the ground. They can clue me in on what's going on and whose nose is at a joint and all that type of stuff. So, and let me tell you, that's not an unusual thing. I'm on the firm's executive committee, okay, and I know that when I really need to know what's going on in the firm, I have a couple of associates I ask.
That's a great idea. So how about outside outside the law firm? I mean, one, of course, you and I are always accessible. I prefer email. I'll get back to you much more quicker, but I'm very accessible, and I know you are as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and me and obviously Liz has popped up on the Q&A forums as well now. And I think those Q&A forums are a great place to get your questions answered. Not all of them, but, we do our best, and we have a pretty high hit rate, I think, of responding. And the best thing there is confidentially. And I think that's something that you really have to be mindful of when you're seeking help on specific issues from outside your firm. Remember, you're potentially dealing with client confidences and privileged information. So you've got to use good judgment in terms of what you share with folks outside the firm, and even to go outside the firm. There may be some issues that really almost identify themselves to others in the industry or others in your town, if you're your city, if you're working for a particular client. So just be very mindful of that. But if you do go out, in addition to ARC forums, and I think if you're active in bar association sections that encompass your practice area, the people there can be very good sources of advice. There are ABA listservs that can also be helpful. One of the things I will say about going outside the firm is one of the things that I have noticed is that lawyers are usually very generous when it comes to trying to help out other lawyers. They hate to ask for help themselves, and I think that may be why they're fairly generous about it, because they know that if you're asking, somebody is really pushing hard or you're in a very tight spot. Every now and again, I've gotten calls from other lawyers because they've seen something in a deal that I've worked on. They've got a problem in their transaction, and they want to know how I approached it. On occasion over the past 30 years, I've done that myself. And if I can help somebody without revealing something confidential, and I almost always can, because most lawyers who ask are smart enough to know not to ask a question that might raise confidentiality or privilege issues, I'm happy to do that. And my experience going the other way has pretty much been the same as well.
So what are practical ways to ask for help?
Well, I think there's a very specific process that you need to go through when you're asking for help, particularly with somebody in your firm who's more senior than you are. And really, what the bottom line is, it involves making sure you're loaded for bear before you ask. Let me give you an example of what I mean by being loaded for bear. I once had an associate who came into my office and asked about whether we needed financial statements in a proxy statement. We were doing a charter amendment to increase the authorized number of common shares, and she noticed that as she parsed through Schedule 14A, it appeared to require that you disclose the financial statements that were described in Item 13 of 14A. But she couldn't figure out why there weren't any financials in any of the samples that she'd looked at. Well, it turns out, and this is, one of the problems with Schedule 14A is you have to kind of parse through all the requirements of Item 13, and then you'll find that there's a note in there that says, well, of course, if it's not material, you don't need to do it, and it's typically not material when the matter to be acted on is the authorization or issuance of common stock. Now, so that's an easy one to miss. But the point is, she hadn't gotten that far in the rule. She hadn't read through everything. And before you wander off asking questions, make sure you've looked at all the relevant resources. It doesn't look good if the answer's staring you in the face and something you should have read before you asked it in the first place. It makes you look sloppy, and the reason it makes you look sloppy is it is sloppy. So, make sure you're reading the statute and you're reading the rules prepared before you go into somebody's office. If you wander into a senior lawyer's office and ask her a question, the first word out of her mouth is likely to be, what's the statute say, or what does the rule say? You better have an answer for that, or they're going to be shooed out of your office very unceremoniously.
And that's not good.
No. That's what we know as what's called a career-limiting move.
So how can you return the favor?
It's really do unto others. Keep an eye out for the younger folks and try and prevent them from making mistakes and get them into trouble. It's in your interest to do that too. Younger lawyers are very nervous about approaching partners. That's why I've always said, your best is to go to the associates, your peers, and kind of work your way up the chain if you need to. It's uncomfortable for somebody who's in their 20s, who's been out of law school a year, to come into my office and darken my door. And, take a look at my picture. I'm kind of a big hulking guy, and I can be a little rough around the edges at times, as I think a lot of partners can. So it can be intimidating to do that. So remember what it felt like when you were in their shoes, and keep an eye out for the younger folks and try and prevent them from making mistakes that are going to get them in trouble. And always remember, it's in your interest to do that too.
And so how should you not ask for help?
Well, I will tell you what really gets my back up. And I think I'm not the only one. It's when a young lawyer walks into my office with a question that's so open-ended that it really boils down to them wanting you to do the project for them, or at least assume responsibility for any sticky areas on it. Questions like this are really, they're inappropriate, and they make me think that you lack ownership to be the most charitable of a project that you've been assigned to. I'll give you an example. Once I had an experience a long time ago I got a call to answer a couple of discrete questions on a project that some lawyers in another office were working on. I answered them, didn't hear anything back from a couple of weeks. Then one afternoon I look at my inbox, and there's this incredibly detailed email from a mid-level associate who's working on the project, and he spends like 3 or 4 paragraphs outlining some convoluted transaction structure that the client and its accountants came up with, and we should have a whole other a whole other podcast, Brock, on convoluted transaction structures that accountants came up with and trying to deal with those diplomatically. But anyway, he capped it off by saying, I wanted to run this past you to see if there are any corporate or securities law issues that we ought to be aware of. Seriously? I answer a couple of questions on your deal, and then you decide that I'm supposed to sprinkle holy water on this entire deal that I've had no involvement in? So my response wasn't really even close to polite. I basically told the guy that he may think otherwise, but I'm not a fat, bald Lexus terminal, and that he should do the research, and I'd be happy to help him with any specific issues that he identified.
Wow. Great stuff as always. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.